expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Summer Minds! Wow, I'm trying to find the microphone and getting the headgear on and getting everything put in order. Wow, today is December 2nd, 2018. Good grief. We're almost we've almost made it to the end of the year.
I can't wait. I want it over.
Wow, unbelievable this year. Everything, the fires, I mean, we could go on for days.
Yeah.
Anyway, my name is Mark Kent, and I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy, Jared.
He's giving thumbs up. We took his mic.
He gives a thumbs up. And then Red Smith, who's still on the unfunded Seventh Circle, a lot of control debt perpetrated by banksters, who has spun us into a mountain of interest of fiat paper no longer backed by real money, with the mainstream media meatheads, prostitutes, politicians, pedophiles, liars, leakers, and libtards and lowlifes that have painted themselves into a corner filled with a steaming pile of political correctness gone wild. How was that?
Boom.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we're still counting the votes.
Yes, we are. We're on the vote thing this morning.
We also have a special guest with us today, David Harrison Jr. And, man, I don't know where to start. We've been so glad and really grateful to have him come in today. He's been involved with Candace Owens and the Blexit movement and just a patriot and, liberty-minded guy. And, he's a father, a husband, a Christian. And, I'm not sure where I want to go, but, he's
that
he's
was
here.
Like three strikes, you're out.
I was in Washington, D.C. this last week. Can you maybe give us some details on what were you doing?
Absolutely, Mark and Linda. It's a pleasure to be here with all you guys this morning. Thank you so much for having me. Love you guys' show. Candace reached out literally over the weekend on Sunday and said we really need to try to put some pressure on the senators that we can that haven't decided on the First Step Act and let them know how powerful and important it would be for the black community.
What is the First Step Act? I'm not familiar with that.
So the First Step Act is an act that we're trying to get Mitch McConnell to put before the Senate for a vote. It already passed Congress. It would basically rescind the horrible crime bill that Clinton initiated in 94. That wound up with just mass incarceration for blacks, especially blacks, but a lot of people got incarcerated. And there was a lot of low-level offenders, low-level drug offenders that wound up with, second strike was 25 years, third strike is life.
Third strike rules.
There's so many individuals, especially among the black community, that have been incarcerated for life. And
That's even
Clinton later came out and said, yeah, it was actually a really bad bill. But Obama had 8 years to do anything about it, and he did nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Obama, I mean, we could go on.
I go on and on.
I mean, I just think that he could have been so much that he wasn't. I mean,
I think he did everything he wanted to.
Exact opposite direction of anybody who's liberty-minded. You know,
he did everything he wanted to.
So you know, it's just one of those things that you just go, you look back and you go, wow, you know, what happened? But I believe that in some ways he was the best thing that ever happened because he woke us up. He got everybody started going, what the heck is going on in Washington? And I think that that was probably the best thing that could have happened because otherwise we were getting the boil the frog slowly treatment.
That's exactly what was happening.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we just were asleep and getting comfortable, and pretty soon we wake up and, you know, we haven't got a country anymore. We've got, you know, something called, you know, some kind of a third world thing going on, which is we're about halfway there right now. I mean, if you look around at what's going on, I mean, you know, San Francisco, any of the bigger cities, the democratic stuff that's been, you know, perpetrated on the people in those different places, especially, you know, the bigger cities. I mean, I seen a thing on Portland last night and it was like, holy crap, they're running second to San Francisco now, as far as the Antifa, the you know, the poop city.
Okay.
It's just
But you'll get a fine for using a plastic straw. Completely backwards.
It is completely backwards, and like you were talking about, you know, I mean, I want to see people get prosecuted for crimes.
Yeah,
you know, not. If they're not hurting anybody else, then I just say.
But it's going to be the same across the board, no matter what, with everybody.
Yeah, it has to be equal and
equal justice under the law. It's not
nowhere near.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a two-tier system, and later on, I want to go over this Dan Bongino thing that came out this last week. It's like, man, you got to listen to that.
Yeah, powerful.
Oh, completely. And so, but we're not, I mean, it's the two-tier justice system as it is now. You know, it used to be that, you know, we at least had the, you know, assumption that we were all treated equally under the law.
Not if you're a conservative.
Not if you're a conservative. I mean, and that's the thing. So, and that's what we want for everybody. We want everybody to be treated equally, have the same rights across the board. You know, not, you know, everybody goes after Trump because he's a conservative and, you know, Hillary Clinton gets a pass.
You know, the thing that Americans need to understand is, especially the liberal Americans, obviously, is that while they feel that the ball's in their court right now or it's in their favor, because the liberal media gives them a pass constantly. The politicians are constantly overlooking other politicians' dirty dirt,
right.
All the corruption. If it was all reversed and they were the ones, we were the ones in control of the media, which I don't think will ever happen. But if the liberals were the ones that were never getting a pass and were never getting what they wanted and everything was slanted in our favor, they wouldn't like it very much.
No. And that's the thing, is that who's ever in power, it cuts both ways.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we had a, you know, bind men down with the chains of a constitution, you know. I have it always on all my emails, this quote from Thomas Jefferson, and on everything I send. And it's just, you know, the two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie down with chains of the constitution the second so they will not become the legalized version of the first. And that's really...
Perfect.
That's how it is.
Yep.
You know, and I've been bashing both sides of the aisle for a long time because I'm a libertarian as opposed to a Republican or a Democrat. Now, I think
I'm American.
There you have
there
it.
You go.
Sorry.
That's constitutional American, right?
I know.
You're giving my constitutional rights. Otherwise, shut up.
It's true. It's so true, you know. I mean, I've gotten in trouble for bashing the right for not following the Constitution as much as...
True, absolutely.
Now, now, the Republicans say more of the right things, obviously, because we have to get behind somebody who's going to say they support and defend the Constitution.
But they don't have a backbone at the same time.
Yeah, there's got to be action. There's got to be some testicular fortitude to carry through.
I think the election of Trump was part of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do, too.
I mean, when you see what has happened since Trump took office, you know, I mean, we'll never have the jobs come back thing. You know, all of a sudden the jobs are coming back and the manufacturing coming back.
But do you think Trump represents a transformation of the Republican Party or a pending split?
I think Trump represents the American people's idea of what a republic should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think it's a transformation as well.
Yeah.
I think he would have ran as a libertarian if he thought he could win, but there's no way he
could
have
won. There's no way he could have won. Yeah, he couldn't get the money. In fact, I mean, it's like, look at what happened. You know, what, he ran against 14, 15, 18 other guys.
And smoked them.
And yeah. I know, isn't that incredible?
Without a dollar for the GOP.
But he's really stupid, you do understand.
I think he ran, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think with him running, it was a Republican. The Republic, instead of everybody saying, we're a democracy.
I'm so tired of hearing
you
that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are not a democracy,
nope.
And I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. And he didn't run on that type of platform.
The founding fathers said democracy was a lower form of governing. They said that it was mob rule, that 51% could vote out everybody's rights. That's why we decided to set up a constitutional republic, so that the majority could not take away the rights of the individuals.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
It's simple.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, there's certain guidelines that say that, you know, and you know, the guidelines should be this. The government should have no more power to do than what you can do as an individual. In other words, if I as an individual cannot take your property, the government should not do it as well without due cause or
Absolutely.
Due process. You know, if I can't kill you, the government shouldn't be able to do that or imprison you, you know, without some kind of a due process thing. And even then, they've gone so far over the top of the rules that... I mean,
they think they're above the law.
They are above the law right now.
Yeah.
Some of them.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, we've got this thing that this happened with the whistleblower getting, you know,
his house raided.
Okay, so here's a guy who's under protection of being a whistleblower. He gets his house raided, and they go through his stuff for 6 hours, even though he's turned over everything.
Everything.
So yeah.
But just the case.
But that wasn't a you know, hey, you got to come over and we're going to check you out type thing, you know.
It's Gestapo.
It's the mob, you know. I mean, yep. It's like, so you want to be scared? You know, that's what they're doing. So we probably have
I think we have to go to a
quick break.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back, and I want to talk more about Blexit.
Okay.
Blexit.
Sounds good.
Sorry.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North States.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
I'm here with Dr. Pramila Danuka of the Pace Cancer Center. Dr. Danuka, what are some of the symptoms of lung cancer?
Persistent cough, persistent phlegm, hemoptysis, any kind of chest pain, any weight loss associated with it, recurrent pneumonias are happening, those kind of symptoms or breathing issues, any kind, pay attention to those and seek help.
November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Early detection is critical. Pace Cancer Center on Court Street in Reading. Positive attitude, care, and excellence.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to riverviewgolf.net. That's riverviewgolf.net.
Yeah, a little J.J. Cahill and Eric Clapton there. I got to like that crap. Well, I don't think it was crap. I shouldn't have said it that way.
No.
We were talking on the break, and I thought it was still there.
We'll forgive you. Maybe.
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 You know, I try.
Let the powers be.
That's right. Wow. So, let's talk about Brexit.
Blexit. Blacks.
No,
Blacks. You got to put the two together. Table. Blacks, exit. Black. The plantation. It should be easy. Blacks, exit.
Black, Blexit.
The plantation. Which is the Democrat Party. Blexit.
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 Shut up. No, Brexit is
Blexit.
No. Brexit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Brexit is the Britain. Yeah,
is
yeah.
The Britain exit?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And so we got Blexit. We got Blexit. And then we have.
It's got a little more weight, and
I don't know.
People heard it a lot.
Yeah,
more
well, they heard it more. It has more press maybe, but I think maybe Blexit could carry a lot more weight. Period.
Mm-hmm. I think it will. Yeah. I absolutely think it will. You know, it's something that Candace had called on a few of us, other black influencers that have, you know, large reaches on social media. If I can plug my social media,
absolutely.
Everybody can find me at David J. Harris Jr. And that's at YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. My largest audience is Facebook. I have almost 500,000 followers there. I'd probably have a lot more than that, but Facebook's been messing with my reach and taking people off my page and not notifying people when I post stuff.
You know what they're doing to me? I got like 4,000 on one. I got two Facebook pages, and I got 4,900 something on one. And now, and on the other one, I got like a, I don't know, 300 or something. Now what they're doing on the one that has a lot of them, when I go in there, you know how they have the notifications, and it'll say, you know, 60, 80, 100 or whatever it is. Now it's like, the notifications come up and then they drill down to zero. And I'm like, what? So now I have to touch the notification button really quick to get some of the notifications. Otherwise, they just delete them all.
Wow.
I know. And then,
you're on their radar.
Absolutely.
They don't like what you're talking
they
about.
They don't even like me. So, but on the other one, I get, you know, like out of 300 people, I'm getting like 80 notifications, you know, and it's like, well, let's see, that's kind of a little bit out of a balance,
right?
You know, gee, I get like, I'm lucky if I get one on 4,000 and then 80 on 300. I mean,
kind of sounds like the differential in voter turnout in California.
Absolutely.
Oh, I think everybody voted for the gas tax, right? Everybody needs to show a hands. Anybody with a brain vote for the gas tax?
I am still months, what, almost a,
yes,
a half
means,
month
yes,
after,
yes means
still
no.
Looking for somebody that voted for it.
Yes means no.
I have not found one.
According
person.
To liberals.
Well, let's say that we always talk about Vampire in Brooklyn. You know, the Eddie Murphy one where he's up there and he's like going up there and he's pretending he's Al Sharpton. And he's like, if it wasn't for evil, there'd be no good. Therefore,
evil is good.
and the crowd goes wild. Yay!
Wow.
Yeah. It's classic, but that's what we've got going with the media right now, is that some of the tripe that they put out is the exact opposite of the facts that are in, you know, available.
Yeah.
And people just go, I don't know whether people do that, but it might be like a Hillary Clinton rally where there's like 10 people behind a blue screen, and then you go to a Trump rally and it fills up the whole stadium, and they keep showing him just in the camera pretending there's nobody else there.
Right.
I don't know.
So propaganda 101.
Propaganda 101. So let's get back to Blexit. And how are you associated with Candace Owens? I mean, do you guys know each other from a long time ago?
No, I started watching her last year. I mean, she really blew up when Kanye came out and tweeted, "I like the way she thinks." But she'd been making videos for, you know, a year and a half, and I've been watching her, and I've been making videos since November 2016. And so she was aware of my videos. I was aware of her videos. People, you know, people that follow each of us share it.
Small world on the internet, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Very amazing. Small. So she reached out to me and she said, "Hey, I'd really like to meet you. I'd like to tell you what's on my mind, what's on my heart about Blexit." And so she invited, I think, 15 of us from around the country of Phoenix earlier this year in June, and shared her vision and heart behind really going into inner cities and bringing a full front assault of black conservatives that show up. And it's not about saying, "Hey, we're pro-Trump." It's not about saying, "Hey, we're pro-Republican." It's saying we need to look at the values that you hold dear and that we hold dear, and then we need to look at which party represents our values the best.
God, you know, that is such a breath of fresh air, because I'm so sick of the racial tension stuff. You know, sure, there's racism. Anybody would be stupid to deny that to a degree. But at the same time, it's like, I want to have American values across the board. I don't care if you're black, white, green, purple. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right. What matters is that we're all free, we have liberty, and we have rights, and our government is subject to us, not the other way around.
Absolutely.
You know, and we have the plantation is across the board. It's not just blacks, it's whites as well.
Absolutely.
You're making a good point, and one of the ways that they're working, and I feel that Barack Obama was very good at doing, was keeping us all on the plantation by separating us.
Divide and conquer.
Set us back so far where we were as a country with each other.
That was my big disappointment. When he got elected, I was thinking, I'm going to give this guy a chance. And it wasn't a month in that we were at Obamacare. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
You know, that's when this whole thing for me actually started, as far as getting involved with the Patriots and getting involved with, you know, whatever we're doing, State of Jefferson, the radio. I actually got into this radio because the guy invited me to speak. I came in here and I sort of took it over like I do, maybe a little bit too much. And then the guy's like, 2 weeks later, "Here's the keys to the car."
Nice.
He was right. He was moving on.
She just proved Eddie Murphy's vampire, bad is good. Obama's bad, traded you.
Very good. Mark one up.
I need to go to my Al Sharpton voice. Oh, man. But it's really true. It's just, it's to what degree you're on the plantation mentally.
Yeah. Well, what gets me, too, is it's gone on so long now that there's a lot of our youth that are up and coming that have been indoctrinated into this, that have never known anything different, that didn't know what it was like, you know, that we were close to, not if not completely putting the wounds to bed, that we were a lot closer than we are, and we spent 8 years ripping the wound back open. And that's all they've known. Yeah. And, you know, we've got to get through to them. It doesn't have to be
that way. I think
it's
starting to get fixed. I mean, the internet has changed the game.
Absolutely.
It's changed the rules to the game. Before, where did you get your media from? You know, well, it's, you know.
Well, at least it gives them more of an option out there.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Walter Cronkite, you know, or whatever. But that's where we got all of it.
Yeah.
And we have been fed so much tripe over the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
That when the internet started giving us alternative spots, you know, alternative journalism to come into the play. I mean, does anybody even watch the mainstream media anymore? There's like four people in Idaho, and I don't know. I mean, who wants to?
The woke bunch don't watch it.
No, not anybody who's thinking.
Yeah, if anything, they'll watch Fox, but they'll still watch it with a filter.
I absolutely watch Fox, but I also know that if Fox is You know, and, I mean, just as look at this last election. They called the election in California, or they called the election 2 hours before the polls closed in California.
Correctly. Don't forget that. They even had the percentages right. That's not odd.
Wow.
No.
Wow. We got a caller.
Yeah, we do have a caller. We've got Mary on the line. Good morning, Mary.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Hi, David. I just met you a few minutes ago.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. We're besties.
Yes.
Okay. I think I met you some time ago at one of the picnics, but I'm not sure. Anyway, you know, you only have 2 hours for your show, so there's no way we're going to go over all the mistakes Obama made. But one of the things that he really did that ticked me off was going to our foreign shores, whether they were enemies or allies, and apologizing for our errors. I mean, everybody makes errors. Yeah, we screwed up. We did a lot of things wrong. But I'll tell you what, I voted for Obama. I thought he was the Band-Aid. I really thought he'd get in there and fix everything because it was almost fixed. It really was almost fixed. But then there was some, you know, the three strikes and whatever. There was some rules in there that were really biased. But anyway, David, you're good-looking, and I work with a lot of good-looking blacks in the Bay Area. They smelled good, and they were terrific, and they had brains like you. But you know what? Shave your hair, tear off your shirt, get a few tats, and I think I would probably take the other side of the street if I saw you coming.
Well, my head is shaved. I don't have any tats, though.
Oh, yeah, you got to get your head shaved, yeah. Anyway, no, I'm not prejudiced. I don't have any issues either way. I was raised in a Polish household where the Germans were across the street. If you want to talk about prejudice, oh, my God, you should have seen my dad wind up.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah, we were raised correctly, I believe. So.
I think anyway, part of the... I think part of the problem is that because of the division created by the media, the politicians, mm-hmm. that we are walking around on eggshells.
Yeah.
And you know, we're so afraid of offending anybody at this point, you know, because we don't want to offend anybody. I'm not a racist. I just want to, you know, to have
be normal.
Well, have a movement where we're all heading in the same direction as far as liberty and freedom. I mean, that's the bottom line.
We
because,
don't look at the color of it.
Because if you don't have liberty and freedom, I don't care what color you are. Life sucks.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I talk about some of that in my book. I talk about racism in America today, what I think it looks like. I talk about what I believe the new KKK is. The new KKK today doesn't have anything to do, the bias doesn't have anything to do with your skin color. Has to do with your beliefs.
Right. Exactly.
And how they sway things and how people are treating other people that don't have their beliefs.
The culture clan.
It's absolutely the culture clan, yeah.
Well, and they want us separated, so they create these false narratives so that everybody is kind of... That's
they
right.
They got to make you a victim. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got to be a victim of something.
Yep.
And that way...
Hey, David.
Go
okay.
ahead. Go ahead.
I'm gonna hang up. David,
give
in your spare time, sign a lot of them. You know, they're more valuable.
I've been signing all of them until it hits Amazon. It's only on my website right now, DavidHarrisJr.com. I've been signing all the book orders that come in until my book hits Amazon. I just brought that one, and I haven't signed it for you yet, Mark.
Oh, okay.
Don't hold it against me. I'll sign it before I leave. So yeah, DavidHarrisJr.com. Click
Thank
on book,
you.
And I will order it. I will sign it before it goes out.
Cool. All right.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling in, Mary.
We probably should go to a break now, and then we'll come back after that and continue our discourse.
All right. If you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
You know, I'm...
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. The elections are over, and we continue to see the downward decay of our country's morals and values. I am even more convinced that we cannot trust elections alone to turn our country back to a constitutional republic and where God is restored to his rightful place in our hearts. Our country will only be restored if the people return to God and his values. This alone will change the direction of our country. Remember, you matter to God. Now it's up to you to make a difference. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
On December 20th, a favorite State of Jefferson holiday tradition returns to Redding's historic Cascade Theater with a Celtic Christmas. Tamashine Foley's heartwarming holiday frolic returns with all new stories, music, and dances that celebrate Irish culture and the giving spirit of Christmas. A Celtic Christmas, December 20th at 7:30. Tickets at 530-243-8877 or CascadeTheater.org.
All aboard!
And it's Style of Wild time now with a Soul Train gang, the Soul Train line, OJs and Trump Train.
Get all over the world.
It's bad.
Join hands.
Join
the Trump Train.
Come on.
Trump Train.
Best in the party, baby.
Go
on and take a ride. Y'all.
Start a Trump
Come on,
train.
Train.
Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State.
Oh,
we're here with David Harris, and he is, you know, in Redding. What's really cool is that you live in Redding.
I was born here.
Where are you?
This is my city.
Wow.
My grandfather was the first African American, and I'm used to saying that because that's historically, but I've never been to Africa, neither was he. So we're black Americans, if anything. We're Americans, really.
American.
Wow. If you got to be identified as something, then we're dark skinned, right? We're
were black, but he was the first black chaplain for Shasta County Sheriff's Department back in the 60s.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't
cool.
know that. So you're actually
that's cool.
You actually just superseded me.
It's my city.
Kind of like kind of like Braveheart. It's my island.
It's my island.
It's my island. Son of a preacher man, then.
I am, yeah. My grandpa was a PK. That was my grandpa. And then my dad took over for him about 13 years ago.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I own Ryrica.
Nice. That's my
talent. You go with that would do.
Okay, so if anybody's got anything derogatory to say, you know, we can go outside.
Hey, what am I going to say? I've got York and Platina.
Oh, yeah, he's from Platina. It's like there's a store there.
That's my store.
I think it burnt down, actually.
That's awesome.
Oh, boy.
All right, we do have a couple callers on the line. We have Rob. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Dave, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you? Long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, I've known Dave over 20 years. I'm another minority that calls the North State home since 85. And, you know, it's this whole thing that happened with Trump coming in was just, I think it was just a lot of people started saying, you know what? There is a voice of the unrepresented minorities in this country and who identify as Americans first before they go, hey, you know what? I'm a minority. And the best thing that could have happened to many of us was the fact that we did have Barack Obama for 8 years and we had a minority in the highest office in the land and not a damn thing changed. And people started looking around saying, huh.
Got worse.
Yeah, it got worse.
It got a lot worse.
If it can get worse, more, you know, because I'll tell you what, I was a big Bush basher too. I mean, I did not like either one.
Yeah.
You know, rest in peace. I'm not going to say anything derogatory about HW, but.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, it's the politicians in general that get into power. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's one thing, and I think this is great that Dave is kind of leading the charge on this whole thing. This whole myth of this this privilege as far as when it comes to the color of your skin. Everybody in this country has what's known as American privilege.
Yeah. That's a good video right there.
I went through grad school, and one of the things I remember, I took like some cultural competency class, and the professor in the class was trying to push this thing about white privilege and this whole, let's have a debate about white privilege. Well,
how long ago was this?
I'm the only minority in the class, and lo and behold, when it comes down to arguing against or for it, I was like, you know what? This is bullshit. This is, pardon my French, I beat the button.
Yeah, you got buttoned out.
Welcome to the club.
It's almost a game here at Sovereign Minds.
Jared hasn't been up the helm lately, so.
Almost explode from the fact that she's got a minority student in her class telling all the other white students in the class that white privilege is a myth.
How long ago was this, Rob?
Oh, this wasn't that long ago. I mean, I graduated in 2015 from grad school, so.
That's the politics of division, you know, yep. Identity division. I mean, that's really what it's about.
If it was so true, I wouldn't have a graduate degree. I wouldn't be working in a great job. You know, I wouldn't be living the American dream.
Do you know the secret of success in America is pretty much based on hard work, period, in my opinion. I mean,
absolutely.
Every time I hear about white privilege, it just makes me cringe because what it makes me think of is, oh, yeah, I had white privilege. Let's see. I drove down from Wairika to the Bay Area to start my career in taxes and whatever with a 67 Impala that was pink, champagne pink, by the way. Because that was the only car that I could afford, and I didn't have a job when I left, and I just barely made it there because I didn't have any money. And I think, gosh, you know, I mean, I wherever that white privilege bus is, let me know.
Yeah, because
I want to get on.
Well, I posted something on my Facebook page this morning. It's had a couple thousand shares already, and people want to talk about white privilege. Take, for example, a single black mother, and this mother being just married at 13 and then divorced and left and then forced to raise her single, her son, single right. on her own. And she forced her young black son to read two books per week. Sonia Carson used a library card to raise her son, who became a brain surgeon, there Dr. Ben Carson.
I was just going to say, it's got to be Carson.
So where's white privilege when yep. when somebody from the inner city can be raised by a single mother that yep. young it's and about, can become the one of the world's renowned leading brain surgeons?
It's about values and the values that you instill in your children.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean,
and then his steps to continue to yep. Perpetuate and push that forward.
You absolutely. Know,
he continued that track.
Absolutely. And nobody ever gave him anything.
No.
You have to work for it.
Yeah.
You know, now go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, one of the big things that the Conservative Party can do and the Republican Party can do is start putting folks like David out there to speak to people, because you've got to get the message out there that this is not the reality of the situation. The reality is, if you work your butt off, you can succeed in this country, and it has nothing to do with the color of your skin. Absolutely nothing.
100%.
And the more that we have liberty, the better and easier that is. The problem with our country right now is you can still get it done, but it's getting harder and harder and harder because they're squeezing us. Yeah. They're squeezing the money out of us. They're squeezing us with regulations. They're yep. squeezing us with so many different hurdles to jump through.
Permits,
to try to
taxes, licenses,
yeah.
which is all about control.
Absolutely. Yep.
They want control.
Power.
Yeah, that's it. It's about power.
I said if Hillary had been elected, within probably 5 to 10 years, I think we would have had to change our name as a country to the USSA.
I'm thinking I'd said it many times. If she got elected, I would be in an internment camp probably by now.
There, I think
you and me both.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not even. I don't even think that's much of an exaggeration.
No,
because that's what these guys do. They punish their political enemies.
Yep.
And they don't want anybody contending with their power base. I mean, we could talk about all kinds of things that have happened in the past with the Hillary and the Clintons, especially. They are the pinnacle of mafia going into politics. I
absolutely.
Think
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, so what we can hope for, and we're going to talk about it in the next hour as well, is that somebody needs to start getting held accountable here.
Hopefully, Whitaker will step up and start taking action while he can. Now that Sessions is out,
has to
it has to happen.
Yeah, because everybody's had enough.
They can't be allowed to slide and just walk off into the night.
The fact that she's even talking about a 2020 presidential bid again is just insane to me.
Yeah, that's insane.
Absolutely insane.
What in the hell? What?
Yeah, it's because she thinks she got off. She thinks she's off scot free. I'm going to look at 2020. Who else do the Democrats have to even champion their party? Nobody.
Yeah, she thinks
nobody.
She's untouchable. Creepy as
Joe.
Far as that.
Nah, he doesn't hold a candle.
I don't think so either. But
you heard about that poll they took over who they felt out of Cory Booker, I think Kamala
right,
Harris,
right,
I think,
right.
Creepy Joe was in there. Several different
Beto, I think.
Yeah, Beto was in there. And the poll said, who do you think is the best candidate for presidential bid in 2020? And you know who won?
I think it was Hillary Clinton, wasn't it?
It was. Hillary Clinton was in there as well.
Right.
But it was the very last option. None of the above.
Oh. Sounds like Brewster's Millions. Remember the old Brewster's Millions one with Richard Pryor?
Yeah.
Yeah, none of the above. He's got the third box, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's what if they start looking outside of the Congress towards a more moderate governorship or something like that. You know, they don't necessarily have to look inside the party in Congress. I mean, look at where they found Barack Obama.
Well,
he was groomed for a while.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely. And I mean, I think the story on him is yet to be told big time. You know, I'm not going to, you know, go too far into it, the birth certificate and all of that stuff. But I'll tell you what, when you cover up your college transcripts because you don't want anybody to know what they are, you know,
because you're a communist.
When you have four or five, Social Security numbers that they've proven, I don't know. I mean, there's something going on there that needs to be told.
Well, I think the more they peel back the onion on Hillary and other things, more things are going to come to light, and that might be some
Well, if we could actually get some honest journalism. They won't touch anything. Like anything.
We don't have journalism.
That's right. I mean, it's like if all you listen to right now is CNN and NBC, Trump's the devil.
Yeah. Yeah, he's Hitler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy has done nothing but good for the country. I think he totally believes in America, and Hillary can do no wrong.
Yeah, it's insane. It's completely flip backwards.
There's a problem with universities right now with, obviously, I made that mention of my professor, but, you know, years ago, before I decided to go into the field that I'm in now, I had started with going after a degree in journalism and went to San Francisco State and had teachers tell me that no one is influenced by what they see on television, when that was right around the time they had the Columbine shooting. And I was like, okay, something's weird here about what these people are teaching me, because I'm pretty sure that these kids that are doing stuff like that are heavily influenced by social media. Now, at the time, there may not have been the studies out there, but even so, whether it was those classes or the other journalism classes I was taking, you know, this whole idea about teaching the ethics of journalism, about tell the facts, tell the truth, and leave it up for everybody else to make their opinion.
Yeah, where's that gone?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a novel concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Well, that's why I'm looking at the Blexit website here, Inconvenient Truths. I think everybody should visit this website.
Absolutely.
And look at some of these videos and look at some of these, I don't know if they're all videos I'm looking at here, but...
if you scroll down, the very first video that you'll see is mine, out of all the videos that we submitted.
And we may want to play that.
Candace, yeah, it'd be amazing. Yeah. It's only about 2 minutes. Candace asked all of us, 18 of us, to submit a video. And when I sent her mine, she texted me right back, and she was like, oh, my gosh, I freaking love this. This is going to be the premiere video on the Blexit website. So I know Breitbart had a big thing about it. I was on there for that, and it's been seen, obviously, by lots of people.
Maybe we can play it.
So you're talking about lovely LBJ on the website?
Yeah, oh, yeah, he was a stellar guy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Really good to touch base with you, and I love everything you're doing, man.
Thanks, Rob.
The fight.
Thanks,
right,
brother.
Thanks
good chatting with you, man.
Rob.
Thanks for calling.
Cool.
We appreciate it.
All right. Very good.
I don't know. Do we need to go to a break and then maybe catch the other caller, Jared, or are we
No,
good?
We can catch the other caller, but maybe, Jared, can you give me the little plug-in for the side of the deal here?
All right.
We'll set that
We've
up
got
here.
Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori. Do you have a question?
Yep. Good morning, everyone. First of all, Sovereign Minds, you guys are going to be put in a re-education camp, first off.
That already happened. It was my dad's boot camp. He used the boot quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I think we all can relate. That's why we're just like, this is it. If David, could you maybe address what's happening with like the people that are in media following that track? You have Don Lemon, you have Larry Elder, there's... April Ryan from the White House journalist. So these are kind of like, sometimes you have the grievance focused, view focused. Some do it in comedy, some do it in whatever. You've mentioned a few. If you could continue that thread, because there are many tactics employed to keep these people, whether it's the apology tour or the racial issue, all I think is to detract and diffuse and diminish our team focus, and then we're just all over the place, and they want us confused, scattered, bickering, fighting, you know, hurting each other, so they don't, that's one less target population for the power structure, until we're all homeless, sick, and under the manipulation of the agenda. So I hope I can see you maybe sometime locally. I know we need you in the forefront nationally, David, but if there's ever a sliver of time that you can be available for the people here in the North State, we would rally and support you deeply.
Thank you so much for that, Lori.
Right.
I definitely
I'll
plan
listen.
On that.
I'll
talk to.
Thanks, you guys.
All thank
right.
you
Thanks
so much.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. And with that, we have another caller. Good morning, Rally Sally.
Yes. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm just going to piggyback on what Lori was talking about. I would love to extend an invitation to David to come to a Patriots meeting on Monday and bring your book. We'd love to have a book signing. And, David, I would love to hear how you came to write the book and what led you to that. That would be a fascinating story, I think.
Well, thank you so much, Sally. It's good to finally chat with you. I've gotten the message from you. I got to meet Terry this morning. I'd love to come and speak. I will look at my schedule. I know I'm out of town this next week, and I think the week after, and I think actually the week after I'll be in Palm Beach for the Turning Point SAS event.
Look at your schedule for the 10th of December.
I'm out of town.
Okay, well, we'll have to catch you after the first of the year then, but we'd love to have you.
I'd love to come and bring some books, absolutely. And as far as what led me to write the book, I knew I wanted to write something. I didn't want it to just be my life story, so to speak. But it just really hit me one night. I literally wrote the book in about 2.5 months.
Wow.
I was sitting on my couch. I'd been praying about what to write, and the name just hit me why I couldn't stay silent. And it really just kind of leapt out of my heart and out of my spirit. And then I went back and I listened to the first video that I had posted right after the third debate. So this is October 2016, right after the third debate between Trump and Hillary. There was such a gap between where I saw these two people wanted to take our country that I just hopped on my personal page. I had a couple thousand friends. I didn't have a public figure page. And I just ran it as an American, as a Christian, as a black man, as a father, as a husband. This is why we have to support Trump, because where Hillary wants to take our country will absolutely be a disaster, and here's why. And one of the biggest overarching, the biggest resounding thing to me was her stance on abortion. She wanted to extend partial birth abortion. She wanted to make it so that it's legal up till 9 months. If the baby hadn't come out of the womb, it has no rights, and that's just so barbaric and so horrific. It's evil that there's absolutely no way that I felt anybody, for any reason, whether their whole family had been voting Democrat their whole lives or not, should support a woman that feels like it is okay in any way, shape, or form to harm a baby, let alone tear a baby to pieces and then be pulled out of mother's womb. So I just ranted for like 13, 14 minutes. It started growing. It wound up growing to over 400,000 views, and I was flooded with messages that came from women, came from men, came from blacks, Hispanics, Asians, that said, you know what, my whole family is Democrats. We voted Democrat our whole life, but what you said made it so clear that there's no way I can support Hillary. I have to support Trump. And it resounded so powerfully that I said, okay, I got to start a page and keep pushing this forward. And so I did. And I think one of the most amazing stories in my book, why I couldn't stay silent, is that after that transpired and the video went viral, my wife got out and shared her story of how her mother was actually in an abortion clinic with her in her belly, and at the last minute decided to get up and walk out of that clinic.
Wow.
And now I have my wife and have two amazing daughters coming up on 25 years of marriage. And I would not have had that had her mother not walked out of that abortion clinic. And then my wife shared that story on Facebook, had thousands of shares. And then somebody saw that. They shared it with somebody that they'd been talking to, a young girl that was considering having an abortion. And an absolute miracle took place. I don't want to spoil it all. Get the book, Why I Couldn't Stay Silent, at davidharrisjr.com. But I really think that's one of the best chapters in the whole book. And when I met Donald Trump a month ago, and I gave him my book, and he took a picture with it,
wow.
I told him, I said, read that chapter. If you only read one, just read that. It's a short few pages, but read that, because it's powerful. And there's a reason why all of us shouldn't stay silent.
Wow. I mean, I'm obviously going to read the book now completely. But, you know, I know it sounds a little corny or a little hokey maybe, but you know, to think that there's not some divine inspiration going on in the last year or two, I think you're missing the star on the horizon, you know?
Yeah.
I really do, because Trump didn't have a chance.
No. 8%, something like that.
And we've all come out of the woodwork from various walks of life, from various backgrounds, from various cultures, various races, and decided that, man, we've got to get a push against this and start doing something about it, because this is not getting better. We are descending into the pit.
Yeah.
Bad.
Well,
yeah.
People started standing up, Laura, that's for sure.
Yeah, you have to.
And we have to. We have to take back our country.
Yeah, so we got 2 minutes to the top of the hour.
I just wanted to end up by saying, David, I love it when you go on your rants, and I share your videos every time you do. So keep on keeping on.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Sally,
for calling in.
We appreciate it.
We got, I'm not sure, David's got to go after the top of the hour, I guess. You know, we'll keep him on. We'll handcuff him to the chair.
Because we want to play that video.
I do want to play the video. Yeah. We got 2 minutes to the top of the hour. This is not going to have enough time to do it. So I want to wait till after the top of the hour, play the video. And then, if you've got any last parting shots that we need to, you know, get out there, that would be great. And then I know you got stuff to do.
All right, so I guess with that, we will go to the top of the hour, and we'll see you on the other side for the second part of Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Taking my time, choosing my line, trying to decide. The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Former President George H.W. Bush being remembered today by leaders, friends, family, and co-workers alike.
He really got a lot done, and he did it with great skill, and he knew foreign policy. He understood it. He managed the end of the Cold War peacefully. It ended with a whimper, not a bang.
Former Bush Secretary of State and close personal friend James Baker on ABC TV's This Morning program. Mr. Bush will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol from Monday through Wednesday morning, then a state funeral at Washington's National Cathedral, then home to Texas for burial on Thursday. The U.S. and China putting off their trade dispute for the moment. A 90-day ceasefire worked out. The whole threat of a big trade war between the two giants had rattled financial markets. President Trump sat down with Chinese leader Xi Jinping at the G20 summit last night and worked something out. Meanwhile, now that the president and the leaders of Canada and Mexico have signed a new trade pact, Congress is on the spot to give its approval.
The three North American leaders signed the new USMCA deal on Friday, but lawmakers in each country must now ratify the agreement. And President Trump doesn't foresee any problems.
I look forward to working with members of Congress and the USMCA partners, and I have to say it's been so well reviewed, I don't expect to have very much of a problem.
However, Democrats will control the House come January, and they and their labor allies are already demanding changes. Greg Clugston, Washington.
French President Emmanuel Macron held an emergency government meeting on security this morning after Saturday's violent protests devolved into a full-scale riot in Paris. The meeting at the Élysée Presidential Palace in Paris included the Prime Minister and other leaders. Saturday's violence was France's worst riot in over a decade. It's all about rising gas taxes. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Michael Medved here with Mike Stahl from Health Markets, helping folks find the right Medicare coverage. The news reports say that the rates might be going down.
The government projects the cost of Medicare plans will decrease this year. So you have to ask yourself, are you getting the best rate? Health Markets offers a free service with access to thousands of Medicare plans nationwide to help folks maximize their benefits and save money.
What is it people need to keep in mind?
Enrollment in the right plan is not automatic. With so many Medicare options, it can be confusing. My advice, don't go it alone. Get unbiased help to find a plan that may cost less and cover more with lower co-payments, more choices like dental and vision, and the freedom to choose your doctors. With the enrollment deadline only weeks away, it's important to act now. Our Health Markets Medicare assistance is free.
Thanks, Mike. This is Michael Medved for Health Markets.
For your free Medicare assistance, call 800-741-5592. That's 800-741-5592. 800-741-5592.
A North Texas woman nicknamed the Sweetheart Scammer gets 85 years behind bars.
38-year-old Desiree Boltos was found guilty on multiple counts of theft and exploitation of an elderly person. She was sentenced to a total of 273 years in prison, with sentences ranging between 10 and 85 years. The sentences will run concurrently. Prosecutors say Boltos convinced her marks they were in a relationship with her, even marrying two of them, even though she was married at the time. She'll be eligible for parole in 21 years. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Well, Oklahoma is in the college football playoff, moving from the into the fourth and final spot today in the rankings that were just released. After winning the Big 12 championship, the Sooners, who are 12-1, will face undefeated number one Alabama in the Orange Bowl on December 29. Number two Clemson, also undefeated, plays undefeated Notre Dame the same day in the Cotton Bowl. News and analysis at townhall.com. General Motors second-in-command moving from the Motor City to Silicon Valley there to run the automaker's self-driving car operations.
It's an attempt by GM to advance its vision about robotic vehicles transforming transportation. The transition comes as GM's Cruise Automation subsidiary gears up to introduce a ride-hailing service deploying its driverless technology in GM Chevy Bolt next year. The service is supposed to debut at some point next year in a major U.S. city, with Cruz's home city of San Francisco considered to be among the top candidates.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, December the 2nd, and it's a birthday for some people you might know, including former Attorney General Edwin Meese. He is 87 years old today. Former Senator Harry Reid, the Democrat of Nevada, is 79. Broadcast journalist Stone Phillips turned 64 today. Actress Lucy Liu is 50. And Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is 35. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. Swing my heart across the line. In my face it's flashing signs. Seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. I feel something's so right, but doing the wrong thing. I feel something so wrong, but doing the right thing. Kills me, makes me feel alive. I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars.
Sovereign Mind Radio. Home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You gotta like that. I don't care who you are. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to play this clip from David, and this is what's posted on the Blexit website. That's at Blexit.com, and it's about a two-minute little clip here. And let me make sure I got it unmuted, and here we go.
I am a part of something absolutely amazing and beautiful, the black community. The black community in this country shares a camaraderie and a bond where I can travel almost anywhere in the country and just seeing another black American, I can get a head nod and give one in return that just says, you're my brother, you're my sister. That bond has been under attack. I believe that we have allowed something to creep into the hearts and minds of black Americans around this country that chooses to say, if you don't think the way I do, you're no longer my brother. You're no longer my...
Oh, we lost it.
Hold on. Let me get back there.
Saddens me to think that black is my brother, you're no longer my sister. That saddens me. It saddens me to think that black Americans have allowed ourselves to divide ourselves and ostracize ourselves based on our beliefs. I am a conservative, and I'm not a conservative because my mother or my father told me to be. I'm a conservative because of what conservative values stand for, and I am so excited to see so many other black Americans wake up to the revelation that they don't have to think the way their mothers, their fathers, their aunts, their uncles, or their cousins all told them that they had to think. That they can choose to think for themselves. I'm a part of Blexit, which is a family of black Americans that choose to say, I can think for myself, and I will love my black brothers and sisters regardless of what their political beliefs are. Blexit is an awakening of the minds of black Americans that I think, that I believe, will change the face of America forever. It's a movement of love and of understanding and of thought. It's a movement that says, I can choose to think and believe how I want to, based on my own research, and I will choose to love my brothers and sisters regardless. I am so excited for what I see taking place in the hearts and minds of black Americans around the country. An awakening has started, and blacks are exiting from the monolithic thought that has kept us in chains and bondage for far too long. I am David J. Harris, Jr., and I am a part of Blexit.
That is freaking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I got to say, the Great Awakening.
It is.
The Great Awakening.
And it's the swing vote. I mean, when black Americans wake up and realize the freedoms that we have are because of conservative values and that there's an enemy that's trying to take that from us, and can you imagine if the pendulum swings from the 80% of black Americans that vote Democrat and have for 60 years, and that swings to voting conservative values and supporting the politicians that support the conservative values?
Right.
I'm getting tongue-tied even just thinking about it, because it's like it's going to be massive for America as a whole, for all Americans are going to enjoy and love the freedoms that we have from supporting the individuals that are running for those values.
We only have to let in another 100 million illegal aliens.
They'll all vote Democrats. They'll want free stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Crazy. Wow.
So thankful Donald Trump held his ground with this with the border.
Yeah.
You know, so much pressure he took.
Yeah.
And it's solely because I posted an article on my page, actually, I think yesterday, that talked about how the caravanners are coming out saying that they were lied to.
Yeah. I was just reading it, as a matter of fact, a few minutes ago.
And they're getting upset.
Yeah, the proof's coming out.
Yep.
It's all...
Yeah, who lied to them? Who told them they could get in and get all this free stuff?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does it begin with an S, maybe?
I'm sure he's behind it.
The ones that get me is they were told, here, you could apply for asylum like anybody else. And a bunch of them said, that sounds like work.
I don't know.
We'd rather turn around and go back to Honduras than apply for asylum.
I think,
because they were in Mexico.
Yeah.
It's insane to me.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably some good people in there, I'm sure, that want a better life. And, you know, but the process of assimilating into America should be assimilating in because you want to be an American and you understand what American values are. You know, when you went to Ellis Island back in the day, you didn't just get to, you know, show up and go, okay, I want my free cheese and I want this and I want that. What it is they came here saying, I want to work hard and keep what I earn and be free and be an American.
Yep.
They did it.
And that's exactly right.
Yeah,
whether it was from
it.
Italy or Spain or Scotland or Ireland, you take your pick.
Mm-hmm.
China, when they came here for the freedoms that America offered and the liberty to be able to create for yourself the benefit of your labor and keep it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the prospects of upward mobility in this country have shrunk greatly too. Through regulations and different
The door's still open.
It is.
But you really have to work hard to get it.
And those people didn't come in and want to change this country.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? They accepted us for what we are.
And the other side of the coin is immigration is broken. The people that we do want here in this country, there should be a way to expedite getting them here. It should not take as long as it does, and the process be as broken as it is to become a citizen of the United States.
See, all I want them to know is when they – all I want – I don't care who comes here, as long as before they get voting rights or any kind of ability to hold legal office – is that they want to be an American citizen, and they become an American citizen, and they hold the values dear that our forefathers held.
Yeah, the Constitution.
Learn the Constitution.
That's right. Learn English. Understand the Constitution. Pick a baseball team. Here's your hot dog. Welcome to America.
And your apple pie. Don't forget the apple pie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, any parting shots, or do you want to stay for the rest of the hour, Dave?
I got to go, guys. I got to go. I'm really thankful for all of you. Thankful for you guys having me on my show. Again, I'll sign any books that come in, davidharrisjr.com, and David J. Harris Jr. is my handle for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. But you guys keep doing what you're doing. I mean, you guys are a powerful voice, and we need you here, and it was an honor to be here. So I'd be happy to come back anytime. And when I've got it in my schedule, I would have did it today, but I'm playing catch up because that D.C. trip.
Well, we were kind of going back and forth a little bit, you know, and we're just trying to figure it out, you know. But yeah.
And if there's any time that you want to come on and get something out there, let us know, and we'll plug you out there in radio land.
Absolutely, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me.
All right, thank you.
All right, very good.
Hey, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Mark. God bless you.
You bet. You too, man. All right, so let's go to a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll go from there.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Your head clenched, your head everything.
had grace, you had charm, you had me hanging on your arm. When I found out you were a fake, you ran up and bit me like a snake, and I wasn't ready to let go and let all my feelings show. Tell me why you wanna be so cold. Why you wanna be so mean? You gonna let your true color show? You're a perpetual balloon machine.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with Care Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. Care Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Reading Kia.
Tis the season to light up the holidays. Let's do this.
Reading Kia has great sale prices on their award-winning lineup of SUVs. And with no payments until after the new year.
Wrap it, put a bow on it, and put that new all-wheel drive 2019 Kia Sorento under your tree.
That's a great idea.
You know, that winter driving can be a little tricky, but not in a super affordable 2019 Kia Sportage. It's all-wheel drive, and for those really challenging weather conditions, you can lock it into true four-wheel drive for extra traction and safety.
That's a really great idea.
You can do that in a Sorento, too.
And remember, every new Kia comes with America's best warranty and complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations.
So light up the holidays, make a great deal, and drive home happy with a new SUV from Reading Kia.
And as the marketing director for Reading Kia, I can assure you nobody does it better.
Reading Kia, Cypress Avenue, ReadingKia.com.
The light up the holiday sales event ends January 2nd, 2019.
Sovereign Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community, community Radio for the North State. Ah, shut up. yeah, we're back, and what a great interview. That was, what a great guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely, no question about it.
And such a wonderful message that he's putting out there for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was almost starting to tear up over here a little bit. I'm not kidding. I had to put my head down and, you know.
Well, that's the last part, the video that you played, you know, where he's talking about, you know, for some reason we've become convinced that if we don't believe or think the same things, we're these dire enemies with each other. And, you know, I've lost friends.
Like, isn't that crazy?
It's friends that I've known forever over this that
you can't disagree.
Yeah, it's never been this contentious, and we've sat and argued and drank a beer and argued about stuff, and now it's I don't know. It's crazy.
Let's get our announcements out of the way because I want to play some of this Dan Bongino stuff. That's really, God, you got to hear this. It's insane. This what's coming out about the from his books, Spygate, and so forth. But okay, so we've got Second Amendment rights on open carry in California. There's a meeting up in Siskiyou County, January 12th at 5 a.m. And there's going to be drawings. And this is to support the Second Amendment rights and open carry in California.
On the lawsuit against
California. The Ninth Circuit has ruled that open carry is a right. Did anybody know that?
You mean California would attempt to resist our rights?
Oh, they would attempt to resist anything lawful that doesn't subjugate us.
No.
I know. We do have a caller on the line.
Well, let's finish this. So if you're interested... you need to reserve your table for this event.
Okay, yeah, and that's a good call.
Yeah, so you can get a hold of Mark at 227-6729 or Cindy, at 227-6728, and that is 530 area code, of course. But that's for a prime rib dinner. Go. And a table of eight for $400.
And I think you can get individual tickets for $50.
Can you?
Yeah, you can. We're going to get a table.
But, if you want to get in on it, you need to get your reservation. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, the numbers are 530-227-6729, 530-227-6728.
One of the items is a Texas night vision hog hunting. They're auctioning off. I want to go up in the helicopter.
I think that would be a kick in the pants.
I want to go up in the helicopters.
I have to agree. I mean,
you got the
I would just love to ride in the helicopter like that, you know?
Awesome. A little night hunting some hogs down in Texas.
Wow. Huh? Well, there you have it. So there's going to be guns that are going to be raffled. There's going to be a bunch of stuff going on there.
Yeah, and this is up in Wairika.
Dinner, silent auction. There's Luck of the Draw, speaker Mark Baird. I'm not sure what a spunky live auction is.
Yeah, I was wondering that myself.
Spunky.
It's spunky.
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 We're having a live
Maybe
auction.
Maybe you have to attend it and find out.
The auctioneer's name is Spunky?
Well, I'm just curious because me being me, I know two different definitions of spunk.
Never mind. So.
We do have a caller on the line. We've got Ron. Good morning, Ron.
Yes, good morning.
What can we do for you?
Well, I've got a question. Would there be a way that you could ever get Jerome Corsi back on the radio?
I sure can try.
Well, right now it'd probably be tough, but we can try because
he's a little busy.
Yeah, he's a little busy right now, but I would like to get him back here. I was thinking about that the other day, too.
Okay. The reason I'd like to talk to him, he seems to find out of a lot of information. Anyway, there was a ship. It was called the USS Liberty. And it was a surveillance ship, and it was in it was called the Six-Day War between Israel and Egypt and Syria and all. Anyway, that Liberty was there in, the Gulf. Anyway, Israel almost blew it out of the water. I mean, quite literally. 54 Americans were killed on it that day, 171 were wounded, and I don't know what happened. It was during the Six-Day War, and they were picking up messages from both sides of either Egypt or Israel, but anyhow, Israel almost blew them out of the water, and I'd like to know why they did that. I think there was a 60 Minutes had a program on it, and I didn't really know anything about it, but I'd like to see that if I could. But they've got a DVD out, and it's called The Survivors, and it's called Our Story. And basically, our government let them down, as far as I'm concerned. And they wouldn't even hold Israel accountable for what happened. And we don't really know what happened, or I don't know what happened. I would really like to know. And I'd like to see if they could unlock the archives or whatever, wherever they've got it hidden in the CIA or whatever. So anyhow, that's why I would like to talk to Jerry Corsi.
What was the name of the show on 60 Minutes?
I think it was on 60 Minutes.
Right.
And it was the USS Liberty Survivors, and it's called Our Story. anyhow, they've never been allowed to tell their side of the story. And Israel strafed their ship with rockets, gunships, and they had a boat. It's like a PT boat, but I mean it. They hit it with that, and it blew a 40-foot hole in the side of the ship. I mean, that's, my God, that's big enough to drive a logging truck through.
Wow.
And then they also, when they put their life jackets, I mean, their life boats over the side, they blew that out of the water, too. They just started, those boats, they just started 50-caliber machine gun fire, and they shot that, too. And anybody that was trying to put out a fire on the side of the, you know, put the fires out because the rockets hit it, the gunships strafed them, too.
Well, listen, Ron, we'll have to try to put that onto another show, and we'll see what we can do to do a little investigative reporting on it.
And I'll try to get a hold of Jerome and see if we can get him on it sometime.
Yeah, well, so we'll do it again. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, Ron. We got to go. We got a lot more stuff to cover.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
you
thanks bet. For calling okay. in. We appreciate it.
Okay, well, that's, of course, he might be busy testifying with what he just had to say. That,
yeah.
Mueller was trying to coerce him into lying and giving false statements.
Yeah, there could be a problem.
Yeah, he may not be able to come on at the same time.
Well, that just came out that, you know, he's actually charging, trying to charge Mueller criminally mm-hmm. with all of that. So it's like, you know, he's got his hands full. And, I mean, good grief. Talk about a crazy days indeed. But, anyway, we got to move on. There's still a lot to cover here. I want to touch some on this Dan Bongino thing. And, you know, he's got this book out, Spygate. And I want to play part of this. This is part of a seminar he did at the David Horowitz Freedom Center Restoration Weekend, and it's not too long ago. And I'm not sure which exact date, but you can Google this on YouTube or go on YouTube and go to Dan Bongino, Obama, Mueller, and the Biggest Scam in American History. And I'm going to play some of it as much as I can. And so here we go.
When I was a cop and a Secret Service agent, if you have even an ounce of empathy for human beings, which most of you in this room have more than an ounce, you have a whole lot, you'll arrest a lot of bad people for a lot of really bad things. But one of the things that impacted me so deeply in my life, I'm not going to say the guy's name for obvious reasons, but let's call him John Doe. You know, we hit a door at about 6 o'clock in the morning to arrest this guy in a credit card fraud scheme. And it was ugly. I mean, it had been hundreds of thousands of dollars. When you're a federal agent, you don't get to arrest people for, like, $5 petty crimes or anything like that. They'll throw you right out of there. It was a serious crime. We arrested the guy, and I remember after working on this case for 6 months, there was this sense of accomplishment tempered immediately by this awful feeling in my gut. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, you arrest them, and you don't anticipate the human side of it. But what happened? The guy's young kids ran out. That's their dad. He actually wasn't the worst guy in the world. He was actually a good father to his kids, and they're watching their father in handcuffs. And the wife is crying. Their life is over. Now, the guy was a bad guy, don't get me wrong. But again, we're all human beings, and I've got to tell you that, I mean, almost scarred me for the rest of my time. I kept thinking to myself, I couldn't get that image out of my head. What bothers me about that and how that ties to this Spygate thing and why this whole thing has consumed the last year and a half of my life is that guy was an actual bad guy. Imagine if you find out you're the President of the United States, all you did was win an election, and you find out the massive machinery of the federal government with the ability to slap bracelets on you in the form of handcuffs, take your life and your freedom, was turned against you. Folks, this happened. This is the biggest scandal of our generation. There's no close second. This is, makes Watergate look like romper room. Now, I only have about 20 minutes or so to get through this. This is usually about a 45-minute speech. I just gave it in California. But I promise you, there wasn't one person falling asleep the entire time. I'm going to walk you through what happened. It's all in the book, by the way, in great detail. And what we did in the book, if you choose to buy it or not, it's totally up to you. I'm happy to sign them, but I won't leave until I sign every one of them. But read the footnotes.
We deliberately did not use footnotes from right-leaning resources. I used CNN, The Washington Post, The New York Times, because anyone who tells you, oh, this didn't happen, just go to the footnotes and say, did you read this article? It happened, folks. The President of the United States had the intelligence community and the law enforcement community of the United States at the highest levels weaponized against him. Now, I like to break it down simply into how they did this. They had Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C. The joke of the whole thing, and when I say joke, I don't mean funny, I mean a tragic joke, is it wasn't known as Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C. You know why? They thought Plan A was just fine, so it was just the plan. When Plan A failed, they had to move on to Plan B and then Plan C, which is the cleanup operation. Here's how this whole thing starts against Donald Trump. During the election, the Obama administration, which had done whatever it wants because the media is lost in this country, folks. Hold on. There's no media. Forget it. That's dead and buried. The media is done. They don't do journalism anymore. It's activism, nothing more, right? The Obama administration had grown comfortable with the idea of weaponizing government against their political enemies. It had happened over and over again. We had the IRS scandal. We had the AP phone record scandal, the Jim Rose and Fox News scandal. And I ask you this, what happened to any of the people involved? Anyone? Yeah, the answer is nothing. I have to do zeros like this now, because I used to do zeros like this, but I found out through the liberal media that somehow this means like a white power symbol now or something. I thought it meant okay or zero, but the media says, no, I'm serious, like these idiots in the media will tell you. So now I do zeros like that because I'm like afraid of some media idiot. These people are crazy. The Obama administration had gotten completely comfortable with the idea of abusing government for their political means. So what happens? This plan gets hatched, and I'm going to be candid with you. Where exactly it's hatched, nobody is yet sure of to this day. Matter of fact, if you're familiar with my commentary on Fox, I say often one of the great mysteries of this case is what's paragraph one. Paragraph one, what do I mean by that? When I was a federal agent, when you arrest someone, you have to do what's called an MR, a memorandum report. Paragraph one of that MR is always how the case started. I got a call from Jane Doe, bank fraud investigator, said this credit card number was stolen on April 14, 2015. I made a few calls, and the next thing you know, it's an 80-page report about this massive scheme. Paragraph one, though, always lays it out. Always. Do you know to this day we still have no idea what paragraph one, the why they started to spy on the Trump team was? Now, I get it. It was for political. I get that. But at some point, somebody, you have to understand, folks, had to put down on paper a semi-legitimate reason to start the most massive spying operation in a political campaign in U.S. history. Do you know nobody to this day will tell you what that is? I know what it is. So the first plan they do to hit the Trump team, folks, is they learn to manipulate these about queries in the NSA database. The NSA has a database of a whole boatload of information, metadata, texts, that kind of stuff. How it works is too complicated in the time I have. But what you can do is you can query that NSA system, and you can get a whole lot of information. But what happens? This is plan A. This is how they're going to get the information. I hope, if I'm not following, please stop me, because this is important. The Obama administration figures out that through unmasking, in other words, wiretapping people, pretending they're targeting foreigners, and then querying information in this database, that they can get all the political opposition research in the world that they need against the Trump team. It's beautiful. No one's going to call them out. The media is on their side, right? But there's a good guy in this. There's a white hat. Somebody in the government sniffs this thing out. That's why I tell you, this wasn't plan A. This was the plan. They were going to unmask people, wiretap people, and they were going to query this NSA database and get all the information they needed about the Trump team. But somebody smells a problem, and he's not having it. And he's the white hat. He's the good guy in this story. And it's Mike Rogers of the NSA. Mike Rogers of the NSA senses that there's something wrong about these about queries. In other words, who's tapping into the database here and making political queries? Now, folks, some of you, I don't know your politics. I assume most of you are conservative, libertarian, or Republican, but that's fine either way. If you doubt any of what I'm telling you, just Google the FISA Intelligence Surveillance Court, their report on about queries. Because Mike Rogers goes to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court and says, Houston, we got a problem. These queries are supposed to follow very specific guidelines about terrorism and all these metrics have to be. You can't just spy on Americans in the database. The FISA court looks into it, comes back with a report that was released in March of 2017. Ladies and gentlemen, that is devastating. If you haven't read it, you are doing yourself a great disservice. Page 80 specifically is horrifying. Apparently, the NSA database was being queried by private contractors working with the FBI. These were not even government officials. People within the government were using private contractors to query information they had no judicial or legal authority whatsoever to look at. Rogers smells a rat. People panic in the government. Now, conveniently, what happens right after the election? I'm going to put these pieces together and things will start to make sense. Donald Trump's elected. He's the president-elect, right? 10 days after the election, Rogers, who knows this has been going on the whole time, these unmaskings, the tapping of the... Now does the Donald Trump tweet, they tapped Trump Tower, now does it make sense? He got the wording wrong. He didn't understand exactly how it worked, but the idea was not wrong. Donald Trump's not stupid, trust me. Guy got elected president, earned $1 billion. I love how these journalists criticize him. Journalists, the guy's making $25,000 a year writing clickbait pieces for BuzzFeed. Like, Donald Trump's an idiot. The hard pass, brother. Like, well, the guy just won the president. He runs for office the first time and he becomes the president. But wait, yeah, let me listen to Joey Bag of Donuts at BuzzFeed. You're right, you've got this. It's like, so about 10 days after the election, Donald Trump... Someone goes up to visit Donald Trump in Trump Tower. Who visits him? Mike Rogers. But Rogers doesn't tell anyone. This is going to trip you out totally. He doesn't tell anybody in the White House he's going up there. He visits Trump in Trump Tower, conveniently 10 days after the election, which from my experience in the Secret Service is just enough time for them to go up to Trump Tower, WACA, the White House Communications Agency, for the president-elect, and set up a SCIF where they can talk privately, a sensitive compartmentalized information facility. In other words, a place where no one can listen in. Rogers gives it about 10 days, goes up there, has this big meeting with Donald Trump, and what happens the very next day? Donald Trump evacuates Trump Tower and goes to Bedminster, New Jersey to never return for another meeting. You think that was a coinkydink? Like he did that by accident? Oh, let's just go up to Bedminster. I got nothing else to do. Now, again, this is all in the book in intricate detail. The greatest spy story ever told, except the fact that it actually happened, and it happened against you. Rogers has this meeting. Trump evacuates Trump Tower. The very next day, the Obama administration comes out and calls for somebody to be fired. Who's that somebody? Mike Rogers. And they start blaming it on things like drone strikes and other stuff. Like, really? Could you be any more obvious? The Obama administration knows Rogers is the good guy and fills Trump in on this entire debacle. He probably goes up there and says, brother, they're spying on you, like right now. He doesn't know. But now he does. So he leaves. All of a sudden, people start resigning from the federal government after that. You know who also resigns? Bob Hannigan. Now, who's Bob Hannigan? Bob Hannigan is the head of the GCHQ, which is the British NSA. But why do you think the head of the British NSA would resign right after that Rogers meeting, right after Trump finds out about this massive spying operation? I'm going to tell you why right now. I'm not taking a selfie of you. I'm not taking a selfie of myself. I'm going to read to you a headline. This is from CNN. See it right there. I didn't Photoshop this. April 14th, 2017. Remember who Bob Hannigan is. He's the head of the British NSA. British intelligence passed Trump associates' communications with Russians on to U.S. counterparts. You think I'm making this up? That's CNN. I didn't write it. They wrote that. So not only is the United States government in Plan A weaponizing its intelligence community to listen in and computer search the Trump team to hurt them during the campaign for political oppo, they're working with the British and the Australians to pass information about the Trump team onto the Obama administration. Don't take it from me. Take it from CNN. They find out about this. Now, this thing breaks down about halfway through. They move on to plan B. Sorry, there's a lot more to plan A, but I, in the interest of time, I want to get through this because the cleanup operation is important. They move on to plan B. What's plan B? They realize Rogers is onto them. They're like, hey, folks, we better ease up on the unmasking and the tapping into the database. People are getting caught. This is probably not good. We're leaving a massive paper trail. And what if we lose, right? They move on to plan B. Plan B's Crossfire Hurricane. They say, well, listen, if we can't spy on them illegally, let's just spy on them legally. We have this beautiful thing called the FISA court, where we can walk into the FISA court, we can get a warrant on somebody, and when you get a warrant on somebody in the Trump team, they have this beautiful thing for the Obama administration called the two-hop rule. Well, it's for everyone. That's for Obama. Meaning, if I spy on you, and you're a member of the Trump team, I can hop to everybody you emailed, and then everybody they emailed. So basically, all I need to do is get a FISA warrant on the guy cleaning the floors in Trump Tower, and I've got everyone. Because if he emailed his boss and his boss emailed Don Jr., I get everybody. Beautiful, right? Not really. Because they were stupid. They were dumb. And they screwed up. The problem with the FISA court, unlike the unmaskings and the tapping into the database, is they had to produce actual evidence in front of a judge. There was a judge in a FISA court that needed evidence that the Trump team was working on behalf of a foreign power, but critically doing it in violation of at least one U.S. law. Folks, they had nothing. They had zero. Do you understand they, to this day, have absolutely zero, zero. Remember, don't do it one. It's a big mistake. Media people, you'll be a white power person after that. They always do it that way. They had zero evidence at all. I'm only half kidding. That's how worried I am about the media. They're so crazy these days, right? They had nothing on collusion. Nothing. Zero. So what does the FBI and the State Department and the DOJ do? They say, well, we don't really have any evidence. Let's just make it up. We've got this guy we worked with in the past, this guy Christopher Steele. Now I'm going to do something. I'm not taking a selfie again. I'm not taking a picture of you. Don't you worry. I'm going to read you another headline. You need to write this down because this one's going to blow your mind. Any of you read the dossier? You haven't, right? Not many people have. You should. If you haven't read the dossier, don't you worry. Because the dossier was already written back on April 17th of 2007. You're like, what do you mean? I don't get it. It's 2017, right? No. I didn't get that wrong. It's written right here in the Wall Street Journal on April 17th, 2007. Who's the author of this critical Wall Street Journal piece? Glenn Simpson and Mary Jacoby, his wife. Glenn Simpson, the purveyor of Fusion GPS. The article is called, How Lobbyists Help Ex-Soviets Woo Washington. Folks, I dare you to take a moment and read that piece. Put it next to the dossier. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same story. It was written 11 years ago. Glenn Simpson clearly had this information about Russian influence in Washington. He wrote 10 years ago. Read the names in the article. You know who appears in this article? Paul Manafort, all of these players. So what likely happened after Plan A collapses is they say, listen, let's go to the FISA court and do this legally, but we need evidence. We don't have evidence. Don't worry. Hillary Clinton's got a guy at Fusion GPS, says he's got a story to tell. Ladies and gentlemen, Glenn Simpson took his Wall Street Journal piece like it was a movie script, scratched out the names, put Donald Trump's name in there and said, look, do I got a story for you guys? It's all BS. The whole dossier is crap. Read the article. It's a movie script they recycled. It's a fairy tale. It's an Aesop's fable. It's made up. It's a scam. There is not a scintilla of evidence that it's true. Now, the big question on Plan B till I move to the mop-up operation, Plan C. Now they're in trouble. They're in a lot of trouble because they realize the dossier in and of itself is crap. And a lot of people at the Bureau know it. They need to buttress it with some stuff to make it a little harder. Now's where the Michael Cohen story comes in, Trump's lawyer. In the dossier is a very specific allegation, right? that Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, went over to Prague to set up this whole information exchange with the Russians, right? Well, what's the problem? Michael Cohen had never been to Prague, and his passport proved it. Where do you think they got that name, Michael Cohen? You're darn right. They probably were in that NSA database looking up a Michael Cohen, and they got the wrong guy. I know there's only one Dan Bongino. I can tell you for sure there are a whole lot of Michael Cohens. Are you right? John Smith, John Brown, Cohen, these are common last names. They got the wrong Michael Cohen. So now you should be asking yourself, who the heck was Glenn Simpson dealing with in the government that gave him that name? And how did they get it? Plan B falls apart, too. Plan B falls apart because something happens in November. Donald Trump wins. Nobody, I'm telling you, take it to the bank, cash this check, and spend the money. Nobody saw that coming. No one. Everybody thought Hillary Clinton was going to get in. This was all going to go away. They were going to appoint their own attorney general, probably John Brennan. And this story is never, ever to see the light of day, not in their lifetimes. But make no mistake, they know what they did. They all know what they did. Every single one of them. So they have to move on to Plan C. Plan C, I call it clean up on aisle four. Now they're in trouble. They know they've got white hats in the government. I know one of them right now that's still in the FBI that's unquestionably cooperating with this investigation, if you know how to read the tea leaves. And if you read the book, you'll figure out who it is. People start cooperating and talking, and now people are panicking. Now does John Brennan's meltdown after the election make sense? He's the head of the intelligence community who, again, another thing for you to Google, but it's all in the book, again. Who do you think John Brennan met with right before the election at the, quote, director level as reported on by multiple media outlets? Bob Hannigan, the same guy from the British intelligence agency that quits right after Trump's election. He quits 10 days after and doesn't tell anybody about it. He says, oh, I'm leaving for family reasons. What do you mean? You related to Donald Trump? What do you mean family reasons? Family reasons, your reason, you're leaving because Donald Trump got elected. Who also quits? John Carlin. Who's John Carlin? He's the head of the Department of Justice National Security Division, the final division in the Department of Justice to put their John Hancock on the FISA warrant. He quits right after the election. Who did John Carlin work for? Now clean up on aisle four is going to start to make sense. Who did John Carlin work for before he got there into the DOJ? He's Bob Mueller's chief of staff. He was Bob Mueller's chief. Now does Bob Mueller make sense? Clean up aisle four. Get the mops out. Everybody realizes they're all going down. They faked a FISA warrant. They have been involved in massive unmaskings. Susan Rice, Samantha Power. They have been busted by the FISA court, tapping into the NSA database for about queries. They left a paper trail 65 miles long. Bob Mueller has to clean this whole mess up. Bob Mueller is the only... Did you notice how right away they had the name? So Bob Mueller's old chief of staff. He's the cleanup guy. Bob, make no mistake. Bob Mueller's job right now is one thing and one thing only. Keep the heat on Donald Trump relentlessly for anything. Jaywalking, ripping off mattress tags, combing his hair the wrong way. Keep the attention on Trump no matter what. Because the minute the Bob Mueller thing is dissolved, all of this is going to come out. And it is hell hath no fury. Folks, they left a paper trail. They can't run from this. Mueller is brought in to get Trump impeached. Because they don't want any of this to see the light of day. Now, why Mueller? Mueller knows every player involved in this and has intimate connections with all of them. The guy who signs off on the BS FISA warrant, John Carlin, his old chief of staff. His chief bulldog in the case, Andy Weissman. Andrew Weissman worked with Bob Mueller. Andy Weissman was the chief prosecutor on the Enron case when Bob Mueller was the FBI director. Remember the Enron case that they screwed up royally? That's how they know each other. Andy Weissman hates Donald Trump. He's on emails congratulating Sally Yates for telling Donald Trump to go pound sand. Okay, it's better. Who else does Bob Mueller know? On Bob Mueller's Enron team, it all goes back to Enron. That same Enron team, headed by Andy Weissman, had another lead lawyer on the case. Who was it? Catherine Rumler. Who's Catherine Rumler? Obama's White House counsel, who was Obama's lawyer while all of this was going on. They know each other. Now, you may say, fine, so Bob Mueller knows Obama's lawyer while this whole Spygate thing was going on. What's the big deal? You Google George Nader, Daily Beast. You can read an article today. Just popped today before we showed up. One of Bob Mueller's lead cooperators in this case, who's been selling out members of the Trump team from day one, is a guy named George Nader. Who's George Nader's lawyer? Catherine Rumler, Obama's White House counsel and Bob Mueller's buddy. The lawyer for the lead witness in this case feeding information to Mueller is Obama's White House counsel, otherwise known as the fixer. She fixed everything for them. She was involved in Benghazi. She was involved in the IRS. She was involved in the Secret Service scandal. Just Google her name, put in any one of those things, and who's the person giving the statement? Catherine Rumler. Who was also on that Enron task force? Lisa Monaco, Barack Obama's Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Advisor in the White House while all of this was going on. They all know each other. Finally, and I'll take some questions. Your final piece to the cleanup on aisle four operation. Who else does Bob Mueller know? Who now has legislative control over this, I should say, right now in the Department of Justice, right? Rod Rosenstein, right? Because Sessions had recused himself, now Whitaker's in there, which was a good appointment, right? A case happens a little while ago, the 10X case. It's around 2015 or so. It happens in Maryland. I'm familiar with it because I worked in Maryland as a Secret Service agent in Baltimore. I wasn't involved in that case at all, but I know the office well. The 10X case goes down in Maryland. The 10X case, a cooperator for the United States government paid $50,000 by the FBI, comes to the FBI with some troubling information that the Russians are helping the Iranians build their nuclear program and that there's a company helping Russians get a hold of our uranium. It's called the 10X case. It was the precursor to something you may have heard about, the Uranium One operation. The same players are involved. The case gets thrown out on a BS press release on a Friday night so nobody will pay attention. Everybody's gag ordered, and it all goes away. That the Obama administration, an FBI paid informant, admitted that we were giving the Russians uranium while they were building the Iranian nuclear program and chanting death to America. Who was the lead prosecutor on that 10X case, the precursor to Uranium One? Rod Rosenstein. And who's the FBI director? Bob Mueller. Folks, they all know each other. This is the biggest scam in American history. Folks, I beg of you. I really do. You cannot let your legislative people, your congressman, or anyone off the hook. Whatever connections you have, you need to keep the heat on this. Because if these people don't go down the right way, unlike the Obama administration tried to do it to us, this will happen again. I'm telling you, what they did was such a grotesque, horrendous abuse of power. It disgusts me to this day, and I will never, ever forget that story about that guy we arrested and his crying kid that morning who wasn't going to see his dad for another year. That's a horrible thing to have to do to someone, and it's a grotesque thing to do to someone to unleash the power of the federal government when they did nothing wrong. And Donald Trump did nothing wrong. And if you read the book, and by the way, one last thing before I get to the questions. It's not a narrative. You don't have to read it straight through. It's written like a police file. I think that's why it's been selling like crazy. You can read the last chapter first. You can go right. It's written like a police file because the names, like I said, this is an hour-long speech. I compressed it to 20-plus minutes. The names never stop coming up again, ever. Oleg Deripaska, connected to Vladimir Putin, who's connected to Adam Waldman, a lobbyist who's emailing and texting Mark Warner, a Democrat on the Senate committee. Who's Waldman working for, too? Christopher Steele, the guy working for Hillary. They're connected to the Russians. The people that show up at the Trump Tower meeting, Veselnitskaya with Don Jr. and Rinat Akhmetshin. Veselnitskaya works for Fusion GPS on a separate case. And Akhmetshin
the other guy, the Russian intel guy that shows up at the Trump Tower meeting, you know who his lawyer is? Edward Lieberman. You know who Lieberman's wife is? Evelyn Lieberman. Bill Clinton's old chief of staff. Read the book, folks. It's all laid out for you. So.
That's a pretty interesting interview.
Wow.
Speech.
Yeah.
Wow, I guess there's problems in River City there. I mean, the only reason Mueller is not getting letting go of this investigation is because he knows when he does, the caca is going to hit the fan.
These people have to go to prison.
You think?
They have to.
That may just make the House of Cards come down.
Wow. Anyway, do we need to go? Do we have time? 5 minutes. Okay, let's just go to the top of the hour, and we'll hit some other headlines. But I know that was long, and that was a long video. But
it was important.
But it was very important that that get out there, because there was so much information in that that's ridiculously.
It's amazing, you know, the same names over and over again, and connect the dots, and it always leads back to the same people.
With that said.
To the cabal.
To the cabal, yeah. Yeah, now we got House Judiciary Goodlatte. He expects Comey to withdraw his motion to appear. Yeah, these guys know what's coming down, and they know they're in real trouble. I don't know. Let's see. What should we cover? Anything really important, outstanding that we need to look at? I don't know. WikiLeaks, huge exposure. There are 6 Republicans that Hillary bribed to destroy Trump.
No.
Stuff like that. Deutsche Bank is in the news again. Deutsche Bank.
Didn't they just get raided by the
Germans? Yeah, they just got raided. yeah, you can't make this stuff up. They got raided twice in 2 days. And, so the first day they raided the regular guys, and then the next day they raided the heads of compliance, the 5 board members. Nothing to see here. Downgraded.
Nothing going on.
Yeah, nothing going on. Hyperinflation. Yeah. I think they're hyperventilating on the ground, too, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this thing is all starting to get out of control, period, across the board. And, there needs to be some prosecutions. There has to be some accountability. Wow, that's just unbelievable. I first heard that Dan Bongino thing, I was like in shock.
Yeah, it ties a lot of it together.
Yeah, it all of a sudden it makes sense, the whole thing.
And then if you want to start getting into the tendrils of that Uranium One deal, that reaches out very much to a lot of us out here in the West, and what people have been experiencing with getting pushed off their land by the federal government, and things that are going on to get access to the resources that were being sold.
Well, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the
crazy times. Why?
Absolutely. So, here's another one that we should get out there. California man accepts a $78 million award in Roundup glyphosate weed killer lawsuit.
No.
Yeah, I know. It's really good for you. Yeah, but just don't breathe it.
Drink.
Eat it, because then they'll tell you that you're gluten intolerant.
Yeah, then we got Trump coming out with a climate change report, and there's like 20 agencies or 15 agencies, whatever it is, that have showed that there's skewed data in the report.
No.
I know. Who would believe?
That would never happen with the data. No.
9 people in L.A. charged with election fraud.
there's probably going to be a lot more of those.
I wonder, you know, Tijuana, you got problems down there in Tijuana.
Is there any good news?
I don't know. Snipes.
Yeah.
Snipes rescinded her resignation.
How do you do that? How do you unresign?
I don't know.
That guy gave the people down at the campfire $1,000 each, up to over $1 million. That was wonderful. The guy didn't even know him. There is good people in the world still today.
There's some good stories that have come out of the campfire, and you know, maybe some chance to spread a little holiday cheer for those people.
Yeah, that was way cool. The guy out of San Diego. Yeah, that was great.
Wow.
So.
I'm in shock. You got 1 minute left. Okay, get it up. Get it on the table now before it's too late.
Can we get 2018 in the rear view and get Taryn?
I'm ready. Can I push the gas?
Yeah.
I just want to push the gas pedal down and go really quick in December.
I'll feel like we're coasting after Christmas.
Yeah. Kind of feel like hit an IED that landed us on top of another IED that hit to an explosion, and we're sitting there one arm crawling towards the finish line of this year.
I want to wish Linda a happy birthday. That's good news.
Well yes, it is good news. We won't say how old we're getting, but yeah.
Anyway. Well, just remember, as bad as it has been this year, there's still things left to be thankful for.
Absolutely.
Yes, there
grateful
is.
Grateful and thankful, absolutely.
Yes.
And anyway, happy birthday, Linda. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire. Is a dangerous servant in a fearful